Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, knowledge is power, and we have a cornucopia of apps that will help you learn things.
Yeah, plus, you know it, a big iPad announcement tomorrow, at least a big Apple announcement. Will there be iPad stuff? And BioShock, it's now out on the iPad. It's a great game, but is it worth the price?
All that, and the smartest calendar yet, perhaps. I'll let you be the judge on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. I laugh every time I see us dancing. That was in the cottage. That was years ago when we first started doing the show.
It was 2010.
Wow, when the iPad first came out?
That's correct.
We were dancing for joy.
Yeah, it was four years ago.
Yeah.
A little over 4 years ago.
Can you believe the iPad is only 4 years old?
Yes and no. To me, that sounds like a long time. 4 years, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And yet it's, yeah. A 4-year-old is only this tall.
It's getting to be a mature product. Yeah. In fact, now I feel like... Most of the articles that I read about the iPad that don't include, you know, specific updates about what's coming next are people saying, so is the tablet dead?
Yeah. That's the new thing,
isn't it? That's the new thing to just, you know, to ponder. Do we need tablets?
So I'm Leo Laporte. That's Sarah Lane. This is show we dedicated to that thing that was announced in January 2010, the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly revolutionized the world. I wouldn't say it's dead.
I wouldn't say it's dead at all.
That would be very depressing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, as you mentioned, there is this big announcement tomorrow, and I think if they announce a 5.5-inch iPhone,
things get a little weird.
Yeah, that's an iPad almost.
Yeah. So for anybody who's watching the show live, obviously the announcement starts at 10 a.m. Pacific tomorrow, which we will be covering on Twit Live.
This is always. This is always the fun part where anything we're in ignorance. But you may be watching this in full knowledge of what Apple announced.
So you can take us to task if we sound like big dummies.
You can mock us.
Yeah, say you didn't know anything, which we do not. Anything more than the rumors that everybody else knows about. But yeah, that's the big question, right? If there are new iPhones, there's the rumor that there's going to be a 4.7-inch iPhone, which is
that's a good size.
Still bigger than the 4-inch.
Yeah.
Inch. This is the iPhone 5S. But then a 5.5-inch iPhone would be quite large.
That's the one I want because I like phablets.
You like the phablet look.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the Galaxy Note, right?
The Note 4. I've had every Note. I'll probably buy a Note 4. Had the Nokia 1520. That was 6 inches.
Mm.
I like a bigger phone. In fact, the phone I use now is 5 inches. 5+.
Tim Cook has said before that in general, I think somebody was asking him on maybe an earnings call, do you worry that a bigger iPhone would cannibalize iPad sales? And he says, no.
Well, the money still goes in his pocket.
Does Apple really care? They just want to make a product that people want to buy.
Right.
And if iPad sales are slowing, well, give them other options.
And interestingly, you know, they acknowledge that iPod sales have dwindled ever since the iPhone came out.
Right.
That cannibalized iPod sales. They were very happy to welcome a new product that sells even better than the iPod. An interesting rumor about tomorrow that if they announce a wearable, it might use the iPod product name.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hadn't even heard that one.
Yeah, it's a weird rumor. The Pod Watch or just call it an iPod wearable. I don't know.
It's just
a rumor. Don't know anything about it. Last time you picked something. Was it iPhone 5S? You picked the name of something.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. The iPad Mini.
Yes.
You said it was going to be called the iPad Mini. And I thought, no, they won't call it a Mini.
Yes, I remember that conversation
now.
That's right. And I was right.
Wrist pod?
No.
No.
I don't think bringing pod back helps Apple. I think it sounds like they're not innovating.
Okay.
At least in name.
That's why I didn't
maybe
like
there's
Mini.
Some patent thing going on that, you know, there's...
Well, they own it, right?
Yeah, there's some naming thing that maybe makes it easier for them. And
Anyway, we'll get to that. We have a news segment. I'm sorry. Sometimes I jumped the gun on that, and we'll talk about that in the news segment.
Well, it's all right. I mean, this is a pretty free-form type of a show.
It has become
I think
that.
Anybody who watches iPad Today or listens knows that there's not really much of a format.
Well, if you
there
watch...
There is, but we try to make it seem as not formatted as possible.
If you watch regularly, you know we do always have a topic of the week. So let me ask you that.
All
what
right.
is the topic of the week?
Well, sometimes topics that are very sort of like high level, that you say something like research, it's like, well, that could be a lot of different kinds of apps.
Mean?
But it's a great topic to revisit regularly, because if you're researching all sorts of things, there are always lots of apps that will help you.
Right.
Well, some topics more than others. But I thought, you know, we haven't done well. Let's do a little bit of a research roundup here. I kind of like that term, actually. And talk about some apps that are in the research arena that can help people no matter where they are. Now, this app, Redfin, which is a real estate...
I've heard of that.
Redfin is very popular, certainly in the Bay Area. I'm not exactly sure how popular or, you know, how much the name is known in other parts of the U.S. But the Redfin app is really nice. Now, every once in a while... I am not in the market to buy a home. This is real estate stuff. But I like to know kind of what's around, especially in San Francisco where I live, where everything is just incredibly crazy. And then I find out, the building two doors down from me is for sale, and you can see the inside of it.
That's part of why these apps sell.
Yeah.
Because you want to know what the neighbor's house cost.
Kind of.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Redfin is a completely free app, and what it does is they have a mobile web version as well, but the app is kind of cooler. What it does is it knows that I'm in Petaluma right now because it can geolocate me. So here we are on the map. There is quite a bit of stuff for sale in the general area. So let's just go ahead and say, well, 313 Kentucky Street is actually really close to us.
Oh, how much is that going for?
$815,000. Five bedrooms, four bathrooms.
That's pretty big.
Square footage not known or not, you know, not disclosed.
Oh, that's not so.
Now, that doesn't look like a five-bedroom house to me, but I guess half
place.
Of it's underground or something.
Yard.
Oh, I see. So it goes up a little bit. Gosh, that almost looks like a... Well, anyway.
Oh, I know that house.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a good neighborhood that you're paying for the neighborhood.
You're paying for the neighborhood.
You're in the Twit neighborhood.
So you're kind of looking around and you're like, yeah, the Twit neighborhood is a good one in Petaluma. You're kind of looking around. You could say like, okay, well, you know, there's a, yeah, I can go full screen here. All right, we got a fridge. It's like right
it's
in the kind of in a weird way. Well, because it's five bedrooms, I guess, right? And they're thinking, I don't know what they're thinking, really. Get rid of that carpet, if you ask me.
Oh, and my goodness.
You know, you go through and
I'm glad they really dressed it up for sale.
Yeah, right.
This is why we love this app.
That's true, though.
You can look inside people's houses.
Yeah, you can see what this looked like when it was basically a hoarder's paradise. It doesn't look that bad, but, you know, just say there's alcohol on the table here. Good one. You know, bike in the dining room.
I think all the people who thought they wanted to work for Twit and have now decided not to move to Petaluma.
Yeah, no kidding. But this is just one example, right, of stuff
that's
around.
Just one. There's less expensive.
Yeah, so you could say, like, okay, how about something like, you know,
that's
Fair
a cute
Street.
House. Oh, and Fair Street's nice. That's right next to the high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice house.
So what's nice about it is that, sure, everything, you know, when you're talking about real estate, this is all, you know, pretty much photo-based. You want
location,
to see what it looks like, you know?
Location.
It's a nice kind of craftsman thing going on
here.
Not that big, though. 944 square feet.
Oh, it's tiny.
That's a little place, right?
Yeah.
You got a nice, fairly nice lot.
It's got two beds in it.
Yeah, two beds.
And one and a half bathrooms.
That's right. Yeah,
which half of the bathroom does it have?
Toilet.
Okay.
Yeah. That's usually what the half bath
is. Pretty useless without that. If you got a sink.
That's not a bathroom, right? So that looks like, you know, and then it'll tell you a little bit more about it. Now, if you're me, you are not the least bit serious about real estate at this point in your life because you're really, really poor.
You ought to be because you're throwing your money away with your rent.
I know.
You're not taking advantage of
I'm house poor and I'm not even a homeowner.
That's terrible.
I know.
You're not taking advantage of the mortgage deduction.
But,
and besides, if you bought a house,
you know
then you'd be locked in and you could never leave.
Know how much you need for a down payment these days? More than I have. A lot.
$150? No, it's 20%. That's a lot of money. And the problem is you have a drinking problem, and you're never going to be able to get a house.
As in, when I drink my tea,
Made.
Spill it all over my chest.
No, because you live in the most expensive city in America.
Yeah. That's true.
More than San Francisco. I just saw some stats.
It's the way that I always compare it to Manhattan, which has historically been the most expensive, is it's as expensive, but there's just so much less inventory.
Right.
And that's what makes
there's
it crazy.
There's huge demand.
And you've got a lot of people who are getting really rich.
Only 30% of the people who live in San Francisco make enough money to buy a house in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That'll give you an idea. It is the highest median house price in the country. Mm. And you're trying to buy a house there. You should move to Petaluma, where houses are only $815,000.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'd rather live in a loft in San Francisco for that price than, you know.
It is very expensive.
A weird five-bedroom house with weird carpet. But that's knowledge is power. Again, my research has led me to believe.
Is this better than Trulia or?
Same idea.
Red Fern?
This is Redfin.
Redfin.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that name, if I get that name. Redfin.
It's just the name of the company. It's been around for a while.
It's an image.
But I have a couple of friends who shall remain nameless who just bought a pretty fancy place up in Forestville.
And now you know how much they paid.
And now I know how much I paid. Not that it was like a secret, but
it's a matter
I was
of public
like,
record.
I was like, give me pictures of this new place. And so they did. And I was like, holy crap, you guys made a lot of money.
Yeah. Zillow.
I'm glad that you're my friends.
There's Zillow, there's Trulia, and there's Redfin.
Yes.
And I don't know what makes the difference. I think they're all roughly the same. I think Zillow bought Trulia. Is that what I read?
Yeah, it was like a merger of some kind. So Redfin is a separate entity.
A separate one.
Great app. Honestly, if you're in the market for something, you want this. And if you're not, like me, I don't know, maybe you just like thinking about what could be, right? What could we make out of this backyard that looks really, really crappy right now?
If you wonder why there are three apps that do this, obviously we love it. And Zillow, by the way, bought Trulia for $3.5 billion. So it's a good business to be in.
Yeah.
I'll show you. You know, I'm going to London. Lisa and I are going to go to London at the end of the month. You're a world traveler. One of the kinds of research we all like to do is prepare for our trips. I like to listen to books. That's where Audible is really great. I listen to the books about London. But I also am looking for great guidebooks. And one of my favorites, I didn't know this, but you like him too, Rick Steves. You perhaps have seen him. It wants me to log in. I'm not going to log in. But you perhaps have seen him on PBS. He has a great show on PBS. He is very active in social media. I follow him on Facebook, and he posts little videos all the time. He also has a series of books, pocket guides to some of the biggest cities in the world, including London. List of maps. That's always great. Just go through the tutorial. So if you're in the British Museum, you can actually get an overview. I think this is just really handy to have this kind of stuff. It also has walks, which I think are really fabulous. This is one of my favorite ways to see a city. So, and what better way to do this than to carry it with you on your iPad? So you get a little talk about the length of the walk. He has audio in here, so you can listen to Rick talk about it.
Westminster Walk.
We're going to do this one.
And is the Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and New York City of Britain all rolled into one.
Love him.
Isn't he
this
great?
This walk starts with London's
He's just
star
so
attraction.
Peppy.
And so imagine having this in your ear as you're walking.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's like having the greatest tour guide ever.
Much better than being on a tour, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't have to be in a group of nerds wearing the same T-shirt. And
here's Big Ben, and so you want to listen as you're looking at it. You can view the map. Guidebooks really belong, I believe, on the iPad. I carry guidebooks with me. I really like the DK Eyewitness guidebooks, and I was just bemoaning the fact they used to put these out as iPad apps. They don't do that anymore, but Rick does, and we love Rick Steves. Both Sarah and I are big travelers, and so the Tower of London. This is fun. Let's go visit the Tower of London. That's where the Ravens have their wings clipped because you know they. The saying was that England will stand until the Ravens leave the Tower of London. So they clip the wings so they can't leave.
That's not very nice.
I think that's kind of mean. The crown jewels, I definitely want to see these. So you can read all about these ahead of time, get a little idea. Really nice. $10, it's a little pricey, but you know, a guidebook.
Oh, you can see the Bloody Tower.
Oh, yeah, that's where the boys were killed.
Okay.
King Edward, the future King Edward V and his kid brother.
You're so good with this stuff.
The Bloody Tower. They found their skeletons there later.
Oh, the Bloody Tower.
Two centuries later.
And just think, you guys will be in London after this second royal baby news.
I know.
And the town will be all aflutter.
We're going to go see Will and Kate and say hi. Is that their names?
Yes.
Sarah and Edwards or whatever they're, whoever it is. We're going to say hi. Kate Middleton, that's her second? No.
She's pregnant for the second time.
Really? Wow, yeah. That was fast. According to goofy tradition, London is only safe as long as the ravens are at the tower. Their wings are clipped so they'll stay, and about 10 are kept in the cage. World War II bombing raids reduced the population to 1. That's how close it was. In recent years, with their clipped wings, the birds had trouble mating. So a slide was built to help them get a little bit of lift to mate. Happily, that worked, and a baby raven was born. See, if you don't have this, you don't know the story.
Right.
The true,
and that's the
full
thing. You have the background,
story.
And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's
comes to life.
Pretty exciting.
So this is the kind of research I like to do. Research before I travel.
So, speaking of research, there is a service called Quora that is literally about asking questions that you don't know the answer to in the hopes that somebody who has the answer will,
I love Quora.
Will provide that answer to you. Quora gets a lot of press as being, you know, sort of a place where people in the tech industry are asking questions about other people. But that is, you know, it's just because it's a startup in the Silicon Valley. But you can ask questions about anything.
And it's
really become a place where if you say something like, okay, so here's a good example, and I swear this just popped up right now. I did not set this up. How was Digg created if Kevin Rose had no programming experience at the time?
See, we could answer that one.
Kind of funny because I'm like, well, I know the answer.
Yeah.
But Kevin saw the
did Kevin answer
question.
It?
He said, I hired a developer.
I think he's probably more authoritative even
than
we are.
I studied computer science in school, but that was years ago. Much easier to hire somebody than go back to coding. Now, this has been upvoted quite a bit. Now,
That's what's good about
this. I assume I'm following Kevin because you can follow people in particular answers.
But
on
you'll
Quora.
See what people agree is the best answer first.
Yes.
And I like that. You don't have to dig through 100 answers.
Right.
And often there are 100 answers.
Well, it's like, you know, the question is really specifically for him.
Right.
So the fact that he answered is like, well, okay, we're done here.
Yeah.
We don't have to, like, speculate on what it all means.
That's the answer.
But this is about all sorts of stuff. So you can say, you know, I can ask a question, certainly. I follow certain topics, which is kind of fun for me. Like, for example, there's like a ongoing question that it's never really closed of what's the best burrito in San Francisco, which is something that people really like to talk about, right?
Gordo's, right?
That's one of them.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be my answer.
Not your choice?
No, I would say Taqueria Cancun. But there
that's
is...
That's a little bit of a different style, though.
Is it? Is it, though? You don't even know.
I like Mom is Cooking on Geneva. That's my place.
Geneva? What are you doing
It's out down by the ballpark. That's why.
The old ballpark?
Yeah. Well, they tore it down.
Right.
It's all down the ballpark.
I don't really go there anymore.
But the Mom is Cooking is there. So
well,
I'll be going.
I haven't been there. But you can go ahead and search, like, if I was going to say football, right? We're in football season.
Yeah.
Now. Let's just kind of see what's going on Quora.
I need some advice on my fantasy league.
So then it gets kind of interesting because, of course, football, depending on where you are, can mean soccer or American football. You go ahead and say, well, I'm talking about U.S. football right now.
Yeah.
And
hand egg, as they call it.
Hand egg.
Hand egg.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just a variety of topics that already exist sometimes there are a lot of answers, sometimes not. And why is Steve Van Buren historically significant in American football? I don't know.
I don't know, but now we will.
Here you go. And you've got your answers. It's fascinating. It's really a knowledge base that's different from Wikipedia because Wikipedia is an encyclopedia type model. This is all Q&A.
I love it. It's great browsing, like Wikipedia is.
It is.
And it's timely. You saw there a question about Ray Rice, who was just let go by the Ravens. That's very timely.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other value of it. I guess that'll make it into Wikipedia, but I love the back and forth, the Q&A. I think that's a great way to do it.
And if there's an answer that you know is not good, obviously, there's not just upvoting capabilities, but downvoting as well. So it really is the wisdom of the crowd, which is... Not always the perfect way to do things, but I think it works really well for Quora. Quora also has had an iPhone app for a while, but the iPad app is new. So there you go. I thought that was absolutely part of our research roundup here. It's a great app. It's completely free. There's no reason not to have it.
I was thinking about things. What do I want to know more about?
Yeah, I don't know.
The sky.
Oh.
The sky and the stars and the constellations. And we've talked before about Starwalk, which is really a wonderful app for anybody. Everybody who has an iPad should have this. This is the sequel to Starwalk, Starwalk 2, $3. And what's cool about Starwalk is you can point it at the sky, tap the compass icon, Starwalk knows where you are, and the sky will match. Now, obviously, it's not going to work in our studio. They also have augmented reality, so if you can look at the stars, and it will actually show you superimposed over it the constellations. You can go back in time. You can see Nova explode. You could see stars disappear. I just, this is one of the best. And there are quite a few, so that's saying a lot. The best astronomy apps out there. And so this is Starwalk, and it's even just beautiful to look at. So as you travel around and you're looking up at the night sky and you want to know, what is that I'm looking at? I love the ability to go back and forth in time. See, it says, this is where you are. Now it's looking down through the ground because it's daytime here. And so this is I highly recommend it. And a good one. They have a kids version, by the way, if you have younger kids, and you want to get them interested in astronomy. Kids like astronomy. I think something about it.
Kids like astronomy, kind of like they like dinosaurs. It's just one of those things. Yeah. Everybody likes constellations. Yeah. You know, when I was in.
By the way, the sun is full today.
Oh, good.
It's a full sun. Full sun. Actually, full,
instead of the
full
Cheshire
moon,
cat sun. We're
full
used
moon
to
tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's going to be howling
it's
up the moon.
It's another super moon.
Oh. I mean, I never heard the term super moon until,
we
let's call it, 2 years
row.
Ago.
Yeah.
And now everything's always a super moon. Oh, so it's supposed to be really big?
It's like 1% bigger.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to call that super moon.
It was an astrologer who made that up, by the way.
In the city that I live in, I'm kind of in a densely populated urban area. You see stars, of course, but it's sometimes I kind of forget how fun it is to literally look up at the stars and try to find Orion's belt, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
When I was in Hawaii recently, around a beach, and it's like there's like 100 million stars, and I'm like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed.
It's
there
neat.
Were so many stars, right. And it was really, it's like that. Those are the fun times where having an app like that, because I didn't really know what I was looking at. It's been a while.
Now, somebody in the chat room is saying, now that's stupid. The camera can't see the stars. No, of course it doesn't. It knows where you are. You have a GPS in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it knows where you are, and it knows how the iPad is aligned because of the accelerometer. So it's saying, and then the camera shows your sky, and it superimposes over the sky what it knows is there. It's not judging it from the picture of the sky.
No,
that would be
magic.
Silly.
Yeah, and not possible.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about Pinterest?
Is that a research app, really?
I was asking myself this question earlier today.
You know what
fact.
It is? And I look at how my friends use sites like Pinterest, and they do. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a particular kind of jewelry
right.
or some home furnishings. What's the best lamp?
Yeah.
Pinterest is a great place to do that.
As far as, a topic like research, Pinterest is sometimes the best place to just start a little bit of a research project.
Yeah.
Anything that's visual, like home improvement or, you know, jewelry or something. Yeah, it's actually really pretty. Is that a Y or a J or a G? Or I don't know what that is. But this is actually just my, you know, these are just people that I'm following. And so it's showing me a bunch of stuff that's, you know, all in one. I don't know why I'm following a wedding person. Don't read into that at all. But, gosh, a lot of wedding stuff. I don't know. Why do I do that?
Pinterest is trying to tell you something.
Well, this is my own feed. I probably just followed somebody who's now, like, getting married. And
yeah,
so that's
that
all.
That happens.
It's all the stuff that is
Quick
getting.
Unfollow them.
That's getting shared with me.
Get more of that food in there, though.
Yeah, well, okay, so research. You want to research a meal, your next meal? How about this Brussels sprout recipe?
Ooh. So do you ever get recipes for
Pinterest? Sautéed zucchini with spinach and basil pesto? Oh, that's not even Brussels sprouts. That's sautéed. Oh, my gosh.
That zucchini looks great.
Hey,
basil
spinach and
pesto.
Basil pesto. That does look really good.
You know what? You can sign me up.
Right? I'm going to pin this mofo.
Sign me up.
Yeah, pin it for the home. I've got a little recipe section for my own Pinterest.
See, so that's, that is that you qualify.
It's extremely easy. Now, I am not an avid Pinterest user. I couldn't possibly pretend to be one. But let's say that I'm like, you know what? I am just sick of all the, you know, 10 recipes that I make week after week. I've just had it. Where do I go? Well, we've talked about a million types of cooking recipes. Not a million. A good handful, a couple dozen on the show in the past. And none of them ever included Pinterest. However, it's some of the places that I get some of my best recipes. And that is just no joke.
Oh, San Marino. Those are the best tomatoes.
Marzano. Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I'll ever make my sauce from.
That's where... that's because of this sauce. Because for years and years and years, I bought this really expensive, you know, spaghetti sauce. It's like $9. That's all artisan, mm-hmm. whatever, from Whole Foods. And finally, somebody said to me...
It's easy to
make. Well, but
make.
Like, what's... Yeah, like, what's... If you're going to make your pasta sauce from scratch, yeah. you know, what do you put in it? And I was like, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, it's easy.
Turns out it's really easy.
Those plum Roma tomatoes
you just
from
have,
San Marzano.
You have the tomatoes
Fabulous.
And everything else is just, you just do whatever
it's time.
You want.
Tomatoes plus time equals sauce.
Time as in T-H-Y?
No, T-I-M-E.
Okay. I wasn't
because
sure.
What you don't want is young tomato sauce. You want old tomato sauce. You want to simmer it. Over, you can't make the Sunday gravy in 5 minutes. It takes an hour, two, three, four. The longer you cook it, the better it's going to be.
Is that true?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Tomatoes plus time.
So you just simmer for like a million years type thing?
Well, I don't eat a sauce for more until at least it's 3 hours old. You
and
need
it's
a big
been simmering the whole time?
Yeah, you need a big enamel pan that holds heat well. And a low simmer.
A lot to learn. See, this is good research.
I'll teach you how to make gravy.
I just throw everything together, and then I put it on my pasta, and I eat it, and I think,
well, that's good.
I just made pasta
that's
sauce.
That's a fresh sauce.
Okay.
It would be, you know, the difference between a rich spaghetti sauce, which...
I mean, believe me, it's always better at an Italian restaurant than mine.
That's why they cook
but
it
I just
day.
Figured that that's
there's amatriciana, there's puttanesca, there are fast sauces. Don't get me wrong. But a good bolognese, you cook that for a long time. Just watch Goodfellas. They show you how to make gravy. They go to the mattress. Is it Goodfellas? They go to the mattresses. Maybe it's Godfather.
Yeah, it's not Goodfellas.
Godfather too. They go to the mattresses, and then they have a nice little lesson on how to make the Sunday gravy. It is. It's Godfather
Goodfellas was the one where in prison he could slice the garlic so thinly that it would just
That's a good one too.
Disintegrate in the...
That'll inspire you.
I tried
you.
To do that with a razor blade, by the way, just to be like all mafia. It didn't work.
Because then it liquefies.
Uh-huh.
One more thing. Michael's in sixth grade, Lisa's son, and so he's learning chemistry, the elements.
Oh, cool.
You've seen the elements before. Everybody who bought an iPad bought the elements when it came out. There is a companion piece now called The Elements in Action by Theodore Gray. All the elements of the periodic table in action. So let's look at it. Here's phosphorus. Watch this. Exposed to oxygen. What happens to phosphorus? It bursts into bright flame. It's so much fun to watch this because you can enjoy what's going to... Is it going to happen? Oh! There we go. A little
watch out.
Reaction. So you can learn about the element. But this is the kind of thing for kids that gets them excited. About chemistry. You're going to learn...
Gosh, is that how young we were when we all started learning chemistry? That
well,
sounds so young.
Well, chemistry also in high school, you're going to do a lot of this.
Yeah, that's true.
But getting people... Here's sulfur. Watch this one. This is another one that kind of combines with air to make an amazing... This is actually the buoyancy of sulfur they're showing here. This is kind of fun. Chlorine. So lots of little videos. Showing you how chemistry actually happens in real life.
I can't think about chemistry anymore without thinking about Walter White.
This is
you know
Breaking
what I mean?
Bad.
It's like if you want to take that to an extreme and be a perfectionist. Oh, this is so cool.
Isn't that cool? That's potassium. Just cut that right up there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. They usually store it in oil. When it encounters water, well, watch.
What does it do?
Just watch.
Uh-oh.
This is why chemistry really is a lot of fun.
Wow. Whoa. Like a firework.
Okay. This is actually, you've seen the elements, and I recommend that, but this is the elements in action. Videos of the elements, actually.
It's almost better that way.
It's kind of fun. Yeah,
especially if it's like...
For a kid.
Yeah. You want results.
For a kid.
You want an explosion.
There's some things that nothing much happens, you know.
Well, and that's...
Phosphorus is fun.
Not all elements...
Nothing wrong with vanadium in the right circumstance.
Never even heard of vanadium before. Couldn't even... Looked a little like fool's gold.
Then you get the elements where they don't really exist in nature, like einsteinium, and they don't do nothing. So they don't even bother with the video on that one. It's why bother? Here's Marie Curie's drawer, if you've ever wondered what it looks like.
Oh, you ran at him?
Yep,
sure.
There it is. Huh. Yeah. Actually, it's a photographic plate, and this is an experiment Henri Becquerel did to show that uranium is radioactive. They didn't know in those days.
Radioactive.
Yes, sir.
Radioactive. Well, I love it. This is a great app. $3.99, I believe, in the App Store.
The Elements in Action.
The Elements in Action.
Look at that.
Good times.
See?
Really
See?
Good. Really fun. Hey, so we actually got through quite a few research apps. None that have anything to do with each other. But again, that's the beauty of a topic like research. We could do research basically every week.
It's called lifelong learning.
Yeah. Never stop learning. NSL. For all the links that we just mentioned for all of our apps, you can go to twit.tv/IPT. That is, of course, where our show archives are as well, where you can subscribe to the show. And that way, every new episode will be automatically downloaded. Anybody who missed us last week because we were not in the studio for Labor Day, that's a holiday in the U.S., a lot of you said, well, where is everybody? And you would know that if you were subscribed, because if there was a new show, then we would have given it to you.
Sarah just cannot stop feeling guilty that we didn't do a show last week.
I am racked with guilt anytime someone's
terrible.
Like, I wanted the show. That's what I do on Mondays. And I feel so bad because this is my worth. If I can't give you programming, I have nothing.
There are days that we take off, and there are only, I think, 5 of them all year long. Some of them mostly are Mondays. Monday's the most common in the U.S. because the Congress decided to have a 3-day weekend would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And Labor Day, which is celebrated all around the world on different dates, is celebrated in the United States on the first Monday in September.
Yeah.
That's why we weren't here.
You know, kids used to go back to school the day after Labor Day. Now they go back to school in like August.
I think no one should have to work on Labor Day. That's just my thinking.
Well, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
Totally down
for
that.
We
took the day off. What are you going to do?
But I'm with you. I hate to disappoint, so I understand.
Yeah, please love us. That's how we...
Please give us
the attention we so desperately need. Of course, if you want to watch us live, and I know many of you do, we record this show right after Triangulation and before Twiet on Mondays at about noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And thanks to everybody who watches and listens every week.
Yes, indeed. And our show today brought to you by a very important website, especially on this day. This is a national sort of a day of holiday, the eve of the Apple announcement. Apple announcement eve.
Yes.
If you think that Apple is going to announce something that you want, even if they don't, it would behoove you to go to gazelle.com. Because if you go in there, you're not making a commitment. I like a site where you can go and take advantage of them. Without making a commitment.
Uh-huh.
You can go in there and you could say, here's my old iPhone. How much would you give me? And they will lock that in until October 10th. That's it. Boom. Bada bing, bada boom. Actually, they'll lock in the price on anything, any gadget that they'll buy until for 30 days. Wow, I can't believe that an iPhone, what is that, a 5S?
64 gig. Big
wow.
one.
Wow. That's what you have, right? No, you have a 128. No, you have a 64.
I have 64.
That's what you have, $335. And by the way, they tell you how to unlock it. So you get even more, like $50 more if it's unlocked, which is awesome. Here's the deal. Gazelle.com, they buy phones, they buy tablets, they buy Mac computers. They buy, if you have a Surface Pro and you want to get the new Surface Pro 3, you can sell it at Gazelle. You're going to get that quote locked in for 30 days. You don't have to commit to anything. But once you check out, they will send you a box prepaid for everything you've got the price on, and you pile it in the box, you send it to them. If you forget to wipe the data, don't worry, they will wipe the data as part of assessing the value of the object. Then they will send you a check, a PayPal credit if you're in a hurry, or my recommendation, if you buy stuff on Amazon, get the Amazon gift card, because they bump the value up 5%. Now's the time. I can tell you right now, even though everyone knows a new iPhone is coming tomorrow, it's still worth more today than it'll be tomorrow. It's like that price is not yet showing what the announcement will do to it.
You're,
so get it now before
right.
it happens.
You are absolutely right.
9 out of 10 customers have a great, I mean, not just great, excellent experience at Excel. 1.5 million trade-ins for more than $100 million. You should be part of that. GAZELLE.com. Free shipping, fast processing, cash on the barrelhead. You've got a drawer full of gadgets. You've got a drawer full of cash at gazelle.com.
Love Gazelle. Love it.
They do. In fact, we should probably get your get a quote for your phone right now, because you're going to get the new one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the show, I was like, well, I'm not going to get both of them, so which one should I get? And John was like, I mean, are you not?
I think here's the problem.
Crazy.
Well, first of all, I have to pay for it, so
that part
that
is
a little crazy.
Awesome.
Here's the problem. I think the 4.7 will be available on the 19th. I'm almost positive. September 19th, 10 days after tomorrow. The 5.5-inch is going to be a month later.
Well, you know,
so we have to buy the 4.7.
It depends on who you ask. There is a rumor floating around that the larger model will just be available in much smaller quantities.
See, I want the 5.5. I don't. I just want to jump right to the big one.
Yeah.
But I have a bad feeling that I'm going to be getting the 4.7.
You have a bad feeling about this.
And the 5.5, because I don't think the 5.5 will be ready right away.
And you need one right away.
I'm actually peeved. Can I share a little bit of my personal
trauma? If there was ever a place to vent, this is it. Let's hear it.
There's too many GD new phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to buy them all, but I has to. I got to get a Galaxy Note 4. I got a Galaxy Note 4 Edge. I got to get a Moto X.
Why do you have to get an Edge as well as the Note 4?
Well, what if it's like the greatest thing since sliced bread? I need to know that. Can we just assume that that's going to be junk?
Well, I mean, it's basically the Note 4 with a little slidey thing that's more expensive. I see what you mean, though, of course. You want
part
to be able
of my
to say
job,
if it's worth it, of course.
And I told Lisa this morning, I don't want to buy all these. She says, you have to. It's your job. So part of my job is to try and use all this stuff. That's the other problem. I can buy it, but then I have to use it. And, like, there's not enough time in the day to use all of these new devices. Pity me, the poor tech reporter. It is not... And by the way, we buy this stuff because I don't want...
It's a sad lot in life.
I don't want the companies to think they in any way that we're beholden to them.
No way.
So we always buy all the new stuff. We get, you know, before you buy, we review so much stuff. They will get stuff. But generally, we like to buy these. We're gonna buy you an iPhone, whatever the new
one is.
Gotta
do it.
And I'm gonna buy the new ones. And it's that way it's pure. Plus, we get the pain that a normal person experiences when they have to plunk down cash dollars.
Oh, and I have a lot of pain when I crack my screen,
yeah.
And then I have to get a new replacement. And then when I was at
you're
going to
give me that old one though when we get you the new one, because I think I'll give that to my kids or gazelle it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is yours,
so I'll get a little money back.
Sort of, I guess. Yeah.
The decision is: I think the kids should have the old one. I don't think they should have a new one.
Yeah, they're kids.
Well, they're not exactly. They're 20 and 22.
Yeah.
But I'm the one responsible for buying them new phones.
I think about, well, there weren't smartphones when I was 20 or 21. Well, there were cell phones. Yeah, I had a big old Motorola thing.
Yeah.
With cellular one.
You had a cell phone in college?
Yeah, because when I moved out moved to the city of San Francisco, my dad was like, well, this is dangerous. You're going to get yourself a cell phone.
And that's why I want my kids to have phones.
For like a year or 2 years, I was the only person I knew had... I mean, it was huge. It was the first like Motorola thing.
You're that old.
I'm very old. But it was like, people were like, why do you have that? Like, do you sell drugs? And I was like, no, my dad's just worried about my
safety.
Good for
him.
I know. It was
great.
I'm a
dad. I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah. So there you go.
Anyway, we've decided, though, we were going to get the new iPhones and we're going to glue them into an OtterBox so they can't remove the OtterBox. They won't break them anymore. You think that's a good idea?
You got to have something. You don't want to.
Do you think tomorrow they will announce iPads? They're not going to announce iPads.
Well, so let's talk about this. It's kind of weird. There was a, this is rumor central at this point.
This is the crazy day.
Yeah.
We're going to hear every crazy rumor.
People are just looking for page views on some of the tech blogs. Apple Insider did pass along.
Nice. Kiznet says, I'm still beautiful and very young. Thank you, Kiznet.
That is nice of you. I agree. You look great.
I am beautiful.
You are beautiful and youthful, for sure. This is the one of the latest rumors.
All right.
That the next-gen iPad Air...
Yeah.
That would include Touch ID, which is, you know, we're all kind
I think
of
that's
expecting
true.
That.
Yeah.
And possibly a new gold color option may also debut tomorrow.
What?
Now, this is, again, this is just like rumor, whatever. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out why they would do this unless they are truly going to downgrade the, you know, the iPad announcement this year because of this wearable. If the wearable is sort of like between iOS and a wearable pairing with an iPad or an iPhone, like, are we going to have an October announcement for iPads?
Exactly. We just assume that they'll do two announcements. Maybe. Why? Yeah. Why not just, you got everybody there. You rented the Flint Center. You built this big white thing next door. Why not just do it all?
Yeah, maybe it works better that way.
In which case, it's going to be a three-hour announcement.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring donuts.
So Sarah and I and Mike Elgin will be in studio starting 10 a.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC.
And we'll be live until it's over.
Apple will be streaming this if you use an Apple device. By the way, you can't watch it on Windows. You have to use I guess you could if you have Safari on your Windows. You have to have the latest version of Safari or an Apple TV. We'll be watching it with you. And if you want, do me a favor. If you just want to hear Apple's commentary, watch their stream. Because what we're going to do is talk like crazy. 20 hours, 20 minutes, and 15 seconds.
Yeah, whenever we cover live events, you always get some of the people who are kind of
confused.
Why
are you talking? Like,
you know, you guys are talking over them.
That's called value added.
Yeah.
Or something.
And if you don't feel that we're adding value, then you probably just want to watch the stream and then, you know, come
back. And you know who's going to join us for MacBreak Weekly? I'm kind of excited. Justine. Justine is Eric.
I was thinking,
who is not invited to this Apple event? 2,500 people are invited. Who's not invited? And it's you, me, and I, Justine.
What do they have against her?
They didn't invite her. I don't know why.
Oh. I don't think she's covering Apple,
yeah,
really.
But she is an iPhone-crazed person.
Yeah.
She talks about her iPhone a lot.
Yeah, I'm used to.
Remember
I'm
she had the to. Bill? That she did a YouTube video of her first iPhone bill?
That was like a while ago.
Well, yeah, well, it was. It was 2007.
I don't know. I mean, Justine, I'm certainly not going to speak for you.
Well, she'll be on the show, so Joe,
well,
don't
exciting.
Say anything.
I won't.
We're just, you know, we don't know what they're going to announce, but we're going to watch with interest.
I'm excited.
I feel like we can pretty much guarantee an iPhone and a wearable.
Mm-hmm.
iPad, I don't know.
People are it's...
Apple doesn't say anything.
No. So, they say, in fact, the media invite said, wish we could say more.
That's it.
So then people are like, oh my God, what does that mean? They use the word more. There are going to be more things.
You know what I heard? I love this rumor, and I don't know if it's true. It's another rumor. But we do know they're building a structure almost as big as the Flint Center, the auditorium, next door. And it's covered, so it's just this big white that's covered with a sheet. But it's big. It's a few stories, at least two stories, maybe three.
Yep.
Nobody knows. We figure it's probably the demo area, but a great rumor, because they have just lately announced a bunch of fashion editors. You know that it's Fashion Week, and of course you do, you're a fashionista. It's Fashion Week in New York City.
Yeah, look at me. Fashionista.
It's Fashion Week in New York City this past week.
Yep.
I think they're going to have a runway in that big structure.
With wearables?
And they're going to do wearables on the runway.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be cool? I am too
if
sexy
maybe
for my
Kanye
watch.
Kanye will be
too
there. Sexy. That would make my day.
The rumor is you too.
I don't really think of them as... I have no problem with you too.
You want Yeezus, though. You're going for Yeezus.
Well, he's fashion-y to me.
And if Conway's there, well, let me know Beyonce won't be. I mean, what's her name?
Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian. I'm confused.
Conway
is married to... Who's married to Beyonce?
Jay-Z. Right.
He's Yeezus.
No. Kanye's Yeezus.
And Kanye's married to Kim Kardashian?
That's correct.
Is that because their names both begin with K and they thought it'd be easier for monograms?
I don't know, but they named their kid North.
North Conway?
Northwest, actually.
Well, it simplifies for future children. You've got Southeast and...
Just tell me Kanye will be at the Apple event tomorrow so I don't cry all
night. Would you name a kid
West-West? I wouldn't. No, but I wouldn't name it Northwest either. That's just my personal preference.
I like Northwest.
Well, I bet you do.
If he ever writes a novel, you should call it Northwest. Then it could be North by Northwest.
Right. See, yeah, I see what you're doing there.
So Conway's married to Kanye. Kimmy.
Yep.
God,
that's right.
I can't keep this straight.
Oh, I know. This is.
But I think Beyonce broke up with what's his name.
No, not true.
Wasn't there the elevator incident?
Yes.
Or was that Justin Bieber?
Nobody really knows what happened there, and it may have just been a publicity stunt, as many things are.
So you're hoping Let me get this straight.
I just figured, you said, hey, there might be a runway. And I was like, I think it'd be cool if Kanye went.
Okay, I just want to make sure who to say in my prayers tonight when I go to sleep.
Please let Kanye come to the Apple event.
Let Kanye, okay, I got it.
Because
you know what'll happen with just my luck? Conway Twitty will show up.
Right, and then you'll have gotten just what you wanted, even though it was unintentional. Conway Twitty, very different. I haven't heard that name in a while. We were talking at the beginning of the show. I'm just going to make us move on. We were talking at the beginning of the show about a 5.5-inch iPhone, which, you know, we may very well get tomorrow, or at least an announcement of it tomorrow. This comes from 9 to 5 Mac. I think it was Mark Gurman that wrote the article.
I saw Kanye writes every at single Apple article. Event, by the way.
Did you?
He's the guy who did the college thing and he wore the V-neck sweater, right? Or is that John Legend?
The college thing?
Wasn't it Kanye?
Yeah,
it was
Kanye. Kanye has an album called College Dropout.
Yeah, he was at an Apple event and rapped. Unless I'm fantasizing. No, I'm pretty sure he was at an Apple event some years ago.
Okay, well.
In fact, I think it was the Apple Hi-Fi event.
Really?
Or no, was it at Moscone? Anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was saying that the 5.5-inch iPhone 6, the thinking is
the
because,
one I want.
Yeah, the one you want because it will have so much more screen real estate. I mean, not of iPad levels, but somewhere that's a little closer to the iPad mini, right? It might be able to run apps in landscape mode a lot better than an iPhone would. I mean, right now, very few apps besides a game here or there looks good in landscape mode. Well, you don't really want to look at the internet in landscape mode.
That does raise a point because we make a distinction between iPhone apps and iPad apps.
And a lot of it has to do with...
What will the native apps be on a 5.5-inch iPhone?
I don't know, but it's interesting to think of... Oh, well, does it make, as an app developer, just making a universal app that much easier, let's say? Because you've got a phone that's acting more like the iPad app. I mean, one of the things about the iPad I've always thought is not only is it just bigger, but a lot of apps just look better. It's easier to rotate. It's just, I have actually my app cap. I'll illustrate this exact point. On the iPhone, not so much. You know, you're kind of just scrolling one way. So, I don't know.
Will a 5.5-inch iPhone be widescreen 16:9? So that's another issue. The iPad is 4:3 aspect ratio. It's like your old school TV, and the iPhones are now widescreen. Which will the 5.5 be? Will it be more will it be 4:3 or 5?
I don't know.
I haven't even thought about all this stuff.
Well, you better start. Because things are about to change.
They are.
You know, this is as young as we'll ever be. Tomorrow, it's a brave new world.
Now I'm thinking maybe they will do it all at once because of this blurring of the lines between the iPhone and the iPad. Maybe it's time just to make that distinction go away.
Hmm.
Just bigger and littler screens.
I don't know, man.
I don't know anymore.
It's just fun to be along for the ride. That's what I'm saying. Do you know that Twitter is now testing a buy button to be able to buy something directly from a tweet in its mobile apps?
Here's the good news. You have to use that crappy Twitter mobile app.
And I don't.
No one does.
Well, a lot of people do, actually.
Everybody does.
Yeah, but I don't.
Twitter wants you to. This is one more reason. Or is it?
To use Tweetbot.
Is it, though? I mean, yeah, I use Tweetbot.
I don't.
This will not show up in Tweetbot.
No, it won't.
Only in the official Twitter app.
Right. I don't hate this idea, honestly.
Yeah, maybe you do want to buy it.
I don't hate the idea of if there was a T-shirt that you see a tweet about and you're interested in buying it. I mean,
yeah.
It's helping you out that much more by, you know,
I agree.
You don't have to click on as many things.
Just go straight. Well, of course, if there's a link to Amazon in that tweet, same thing.
Sort of. I think it's just a little bit more polished, seamless looking when you've got a buy button directly in a tweet. The thing, though, is it assumes is you're following a brand of some kind. So then, you know, if you're not following a brand, well, then what happens? The brand pay for promotion.
Who gets the money? Twitter?
Well, there's a
deal.
There's a deal going on behind the scenes.
So it's an ad unit.
Yeah.
Buy ad unit.
Right. It's you're paying for a little bit more convenience within Twitter. It's funny. I wanted to talk about it because I feel like a lot of you might have, emotions about this one way or another. I just feel like every time Twitter does anything, I'm like, I don't know. I never see any of that stuff. Like, I've never seen a Twitter ad in Tweetbot. They just don't show up ever.
We don't see a lot of the things Twitter does
mm-hmm.
in Tweetbot. Tweetbot and all the third-party applications call the Twitter API So when you and get the latest tweets. And this is because Twitter lets them do it. And Twitter has lately really discouraged new third-party apps. One of the things they've done is they've said, if you're a new app, you can only have 100,000 users before we're going to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an old app, you're grandfathered in. My question is, if you're a new user of an older app, is it possible people could install Tweetbot and be told, sorry, you can't, we have as many customers as we can have? Have you ever done that? Installed a new Twitter app and be told you can't sign up? We're not taking new customers? Anybody in the chat room had that happen?
No, that has not happened to me. But that was the whole problem with Tweetbot back in the day. I guess they're in a grandfathered in situation.
They are, because they predate this change.
Right.
By the way, and so we agree that's the Tweetbot from Tapbots is the best Twitter app on
I think it
iPad.
Is. That's the one that I've...
We kind of live with it now.
Yeah, but I mean, I've always been really happy with Tweetbot. But there are certainly other options. There's Hootsuite. There's, a lot of people still like TweetDeck.
TweetDeck is from Twitter. So if Twitter does put buy buttons, I presume they'll put them in both the Twitter, official Twitter app and
TweetDeck.
Maybe
I would
not.
Think so.
I don't know.
I would think so. TweetDeck is sort of the more power user version of Twitter.
The power play that's happening here is that Twitter decided if we don't control every way people look at Twitter, we can't do things like the buy button. We can't make money. We can't monetize. So they really, just a few years ago, kind of put the lid on new third-party apps. And they really want you and anybody getting their first iPad to use the Twitter app, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't we use the Twitter app?
I don't have a good reason. I just like Tweetbot. There's something, it's like a two-for-one thing. It's like, it works really well, and also I feel like I'm rooting for the underdog in a weird way. And it's like I don't actually have a problem with Twitter. We've got some people in the chat room saying, "Oh, Twitter has lost their way, and they're, it's just a slow march to death." And it's like I actually don't feel that way at all.
Compare and contrast.
Okay,
so this is the official Twitter app. First of all, seems like wasted space there, right?
It's very white.
The other thing is when I go back to Tweetbot, it's kind of the old school. Twitter solution, a Twitter interface where you really divided things up among your timeline, which is everybody you follow, mentions, which are at Leo Laporte's, direct messages, and then they allow you to search lists and favorites and things like that. Twitter has kind of changed how they do things. There's a home button, which isn't, I guess that's the same thing as your activity stream, your general stream. There is, if you look at this, where would you go the app? Well, you click me, and I guess these are things I've tweeted, not at's me. Well, I don't need to go, why have a whole button for things I've tweeted? I know what and where is the at me stuff? There's trending stuff.
It's the mentions.
There is no mentions button anymore.
Oh.
I think
so
notifications
long.
Kind of is it. But it also includes things like who followed you.
You can't sort?
It's gotten very, I think.
Interesting.
One of the reasons we don't use the official Twitter app is it seems more like
it's all about
for
discovery.
Twitter's benefit, not for my benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's everything that Twitter seems to be doing, the direction it goes in, is all about new users.
Right.
Twitter's confusing. New users need to discover other users and follow and be engaged and all that stuff. And it's like, you and me, and probably most of you who are with us now, are like, we understand how Twitter works. We don't actually need all of these like sort of bizarrely
we're old-fashioned
working tools.
We want our activity feed. We want mentions.
Yeah.
We want direct messages.
Do not make this an algorithm where you decide what's the most important tweet. If you do that, I will freak the heck out. Anyway, that's it. Buy buttons, come into the Twitter app. Do let us know how you feel about it,
because I know some people probably have great examples
of why it's a great idea.
Let us know why you use the Twitter app and not another app.
Yeah. Why is it the app of choice for you? Because you do have options. Obviously, it's free. Tweetbot is not.
You click the home button.
Okay.
And then who would have known this? You swipe right. No, it doesn't work.
That's swiping left.
All right.
You've never been good with this. The swiping for you is...
I think they're wrong. I don't think there is any swiping involved. I'm very confused.
Leo, oh boy. All right, we're moving on. We're just moving on. Guess who got a new app.
Kanye sang at the 2005 Apple event.
Wow. Okay, that was a while ago. All right. Well, yeah, that was the college dropout days. Very good memory.
I haven't been there in a long time.
You're like, you know, you did the college thing.
He had a V-neck sweater.
Like, okay. I didn't see that.
Didn't mention dropping out. I thought it was all about be cool, stay in school kind of a thing. Not so much, apparently.
Well, you know, school of hard knocks, perhaps. So Expedia has a new iPad app that is actually pretty fun. Speaking of discovery, now Expedia, of course, is a service that allows you to, we were talking about travel earlier in the show, that allows you to book hotels and flights and or a combination of the two, that sort of thing. It's I've used Expedia in the past. It's, you know, one of these places where you can sometimes get a discount type thing.
Does it have chat heads now? What is that?
Kind of. Well, here's what's going on is that Expedia is sort of saying, hey, are you interested in something, you know, in the Ibiza region, for example?
And then it pops up Berlin because why not?
Well, no, because I clicked on Europe.
I see.
So Ibiza, let's go ahead and explore. I almost actually went to Ibiza this summer, but I decided, you know what?
It's pronounced pho.
I know, Ibiza, right? Well, whatever. I'm an Americana. And you can see, all right, you're coming from San Francisco because it knows that that's the closest international airport to where I am right now. You've got a variety of hotels to choose from on Ibiza Island itself. You see this is just the one photo. You can see sort of like, okay, well, here are some flight trends depending on when you might be traveling. You go ahead and say, okay, here are my specific days. If you're somebody who needs specific days, and you probably will be, maybe there's more than one traveler. This is the place to fudge with that type of a thing. Mm-hmm. But this is, okay, so that's basically Expedia saying, let's just give you an idea of where you might want to go. This is almost a little bit Airbnb-like, where Expedia is now saying, do you want a romantic getaway? Do you want to be part of some sort of an upcoming festival? How about a foodie destination if you're, like, super into eating? Who isn't? Okay, so that's me. Foodie destination. That's what I want. All right, well, one of my options is Honolulu. Great. I love Hawaii. Let's go ahead and explore that now. So it's really a sense of you can book a trip and book an accommodation and that sort of thing with Expedia, but it wants to take advantage of just sort of the fun of researching again the iPad app part of this. So you get to kind of just take a sense of, hey, you know, going to Honolulu, at least from San Francisco, is not that expensive right now. Blah, blah, blah. I can see a variety of hotel deals. I can see that at the Moana Surf Rider, we got a 10% off right now. I've heard nice things about that hotel. I think it's a Westin, and so on and so forth. So this is actually, it's nice. It's not really the Expedia of yesteryear, at least the you know, the one that I'm familiar with. But then again, I never really hung out with Expedia on the iPad before. And then, of course, if you're just like, I don't want, you know, a romantic getaway, I don't want to look at, you know, a party destination, I honestly just want to, you know, go see the deer in New Hampshire. I don't know if New Hampshire has deer or not. That's probably something that they have, right? And we're going to go ahead and say, let's go to Portsmouth because I'm interested in Portsmouth. Is that what Portsmouth looks like? It's very lovely.
Portsmouth, New Hampshire?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Portsmouth, England.
No, look, Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
That can't be what it looks like, right?
I thought it was a sleepy little fishing village.
I don't know. Maybe that's like some weird, The Portsmouth Inn looks a little bit more like
that. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. That's not Portsmouth, New Hampshire, right? I don't know. Anyway,
heck?
Maybe that's just sort of like a background thing that Expedia is doing.
If you're interested in big city fun, there's nothing like Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The gateway to southern New England.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's Expedia. Great app.
Wow.
Thought you guys might like to know more about it.
I'm underwhelmed. I don't want it that way. I want just like a website where I could type in my destination and buy tickets.
Well, that's Hipmunk.
Maybe.
Or
maybe. Maybe Expedia says, there's no money in just selling stuff. We got to be a travel helper.
Well, we want to bundle things in for you. They want your iPad experience to be fun, Leo. I don't know.
That's fun for me.
You're insane. Just
buying tickets and going places.
Indeed, mm-hmm. Indeed. Let's move on to a video question that we got from David about making the best videos he could possibly make.
Oh, this is David from Walnut Creek. I'm not too far from you guys. And I want to first of all say I love your show. Thank you so much. You two are incredible together. Sarah, you are adorable.
Thanks.
Leo, you're not adorable, but I really enjoy listening to you. Enjoy all of the podcasts on Twit Network. Thank you so much. Hey, I've got an accessory question.
You're not adorable.
Software question on the iPad or something like that to do with the hardware. I do a video each week for the church that I pastor, and I do it on the iPad just like I'm doing this one. Sometimes I'm in settings that are not very ideal. I'll be in perhaps shade, and the background will be really light, so I look like a silhouette. Or perhaps I'm in the darker setting where I just need some extra light. Is there a light that could clamp to an to the iPad or maybe to even a tripod that I could use for just a little bit of extra light? I don't need a giant studio light, of course. I just need something small that could just take some of the shadow out. Also, if you know of a good wireless mic, I don't even know if they make such a thing, but a wireless mic that could hook into the iPad that could take out some of the background noise when I'm in settings that are a little windy or have, you know, some other activities going on, that would be really great to know. Hey, again, thanks. I love the show, and I hope that you can answer this question. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sending in a very nice video.
His video looked great, by the way.
It did. He said he was recording on his iPad.
Now, the only thing was weird is that it was so high above him. He was looking up.
Well, I think he says that he uses tripods.
And maybe that's because he's a pastor and he wants to give you the, like your... the bird's eye view or something. But now traditional studio, we shoot correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a television production guru, but slightly above the eye line, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and the reason isn't so much that you want somebody looking up when they're on the camera. You kind of want them, what you want is to give the person who's watching at home an experience that you're looking at them. Mm-hmm. So it should roughly be at eye level. You don't want to shoot below because it's not very flattering,
correct.
Frankly. So slightly above, maybe more than an inch above, which I think this camera is, still gives you the sense that you're looking at me, but my chin is a little bit higher up. It's a little bit more flattering. You don't get what you really want to watch out for is big hollows.
The under the eye stuff.
And since lights are almost always above you, you want to slightly be looking up because your eyes will be lit. So first thing I would do is maybe shoot at a more of a eye level.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems more natural. But then the other thing, and we are big fans of studio lights that use LEDs, and there are quite a few choices here. I'll go to B&H Photo.
Yeah, because this is something that David doesn't necessarily, it doesn't need to hook into the iPad at all,
and many of
really.
These are so light. One of the nice things about LED lighting is they're so light and so low power, they can give you quite a bit of brightness for a very small unit that doesn't weigh very much. I'm sorry this page isn't just popping it up. B&H, as with everybody, wants me to go out and get their iPad app. But if you search for LED studio lights, these are the kinds we used for a long time. That's an awfully big one. The company that ProMaster makes them, the company we've used for years is Light Panels. In fact, that's when we go tomorrow to the iPad event with a handheld camera, we will have a light panel attached to the handheld camera. And they make a small little light. Let me see if I can find it. A small little light that attaches to your camera. Here we go, in the on-camera series. And you see, it doesn't take up a lot of space. This is a stand that's designed to go into the hot shoe on a camera, but you're using the iPad, so you'd probably want to get it with just a little bit of a clamp that could clamp on the iPad. These are very light. The dial on the top of that can make it brighter or darker as is needed. We are really big fans of these. So they make the Micro Pro, and they even get bigger now. But the Micro is probably all you really need. This is from a company called Light Panels, LitePanels.com. And we actually have quite a few of these. We use these in the field all the time. And I'll tell you the truth. And again, I'm going to defer to you. But a single source light right in front of you is maybe not the best, most flattering look.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into lighting, you've got, you know, your key, your side, and your fill, right? Or key fill back. That's the 3-point lighting. But I don't know that David really wants it. I think he's saying, you said you were a pastor, so he's just sometimes shooting inside where he just needs a little bit more light so he's not backlit. You know, maybe he's got like stained glass behind him.
I would play with it. If you only have a single point of light, sometimes it's better to be off axis. You don't. In fact, you know this. You've experienced this when you use a flash on a camera. The flash is right above the lens, mm-hmm. and it's boom.
Right.
And maybe not the best look. Maybe just move it a little bit off. So what I'm saying is you could clamp it to your iPad, but you maybe just want to put it on a tripod because it does have a threaded hole, and just slightly off.
Yeah.
So you'll have a little more modeling, and, right. and it won't be – you notice that we try to make it so that my face isn't exactly flat.
See, I wish we were flatter because flat is flattering.
It does get rid of wrinkles.
Yeah.
And that's another thing you'll find that
I don't wanna television – I old.
Television newscasters and people like Sarah Lane love...
Flat, flat, flat.
Well, they like something called an eye light. And Peter Jennings was very famous for using an eye light. The eye light is a small light like this that's aimed right here. And when you have that flat light on your eyes, all the wrinkles go away, mm-hmm. all the bags go away, and your eyes pop. And you could see I don't have an eye light, but Sarah does, and that's why she looks so good.
No, I don't. I have an eye light. I'm just youthful. When I sit in that seat, though, I don't know. You look fine. I look super weird. It just doesn't. I prefer
lighting,
this.
As you can see, is a great big subject. There's lots.
It really
about.
Is. Yeah, and there's no there just is no like perfect solution because it depends on what you're going.
The
for.
The eye light is not an eye like an iPad. It's an eye like EYE.
EYE
light for your eyes.
Anyway, David, hopefully we
More
gave you at least a little bit to think about as far as...
Light panels. Get the micro. Those
yeah, and again, it's... they're light... a lot more affordable.
Sarah and I fight back and forth over flat lighting versus highly modeled.
Flatten me.
I like modeled lighting.
Flatten and flatter.
When we first did our lighting, we had a lighting guy come in who did movies. In fact, he did Gosford Park. Remember that beautiful movie?
Right.
And so he had lots of pools of darkness, and you wouldn't be able to see everything, just part of my face. And I loved it. I loved that look, but Sarah came along and said, not in my watch.
I said.
Did he ask about mics as well?
No drama. He did. He actually asked about a wireless mic.
As much as we've said about lights, I could say 10 times more about mics.
Then it goes really nuts. Because mics, you really think about mics.
We do not use wireless mics for the most part here because wired is almost always going to be better. If you're going to use wireless and you don't want to, you're now going to spend a lot of money, like in $600 range, not for the quality of the mic, but the quality of the receiver and the transmitter, because wireless gets interfered with. And so you want to spend some money. What do we use? I forgot it. We like it a lot. Do you know, Brian? I can't remember. Jammer B's not here, our studio manager. He would tell me right away. I know it's making noise. It's Electro something. Sennheiser also makes very good wireless mics, but they're more expensive than you could possibly imagine. So the better way to go is a wired mic, and just have a wire going over to your iPad. It's okay.
Yeah.
No one will see it.
No. Well, and if they do, it's better that it sounds good, yeah. and you have a little bit of a wire. Yep. We love hearing from all of you. Thanks to everybody who sent in voicemails and videos and emails this week. We will have more of them next week. Thank you. Especially to David for being brave enough to send us a video.
Great video.
Yeah,
though. Looks
we
good,
don't always get those. And he's in Walnut Creek, California, which, if you're not familiar with the area, is not that far from us, just over in the east side of the bay. You can write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD. You can send us a video. I think David just uploaded his to YouTube and sent us the link, which is...
Best way to do it.
Yeah, it's just really, really easy. Questions, comments, ideas, love them all. All right, Leo.
Smart. And one more thing. Sorry about mics.
Mm-hmm.
But Effin Dunn, who does a lot of this kind of stuff, says that Rode, who makes a lot of podcaster mics, RODEMIC.com, makes a lavalier called the Smart Lav that has an interface directly into the iPad. It's wired, but it has what you want, which is a lightning connector.
Oh, cool.
Because that'll make it a lot easier for you to wire things up. So that's, I think that is a very good idea. Smart LAV. They call these lavalier mics because, I don't know why.
I don't know how to put this app cap on, here, but it's certainly cool.
I'll show you.
All right.
There's a label in the back there.
Oh, this that's
is
how you know?
This is an Eddy.
You find the ribbon and you put that in the back. Now, see, of course, I had to wear my hair in a bun today, so it's going to be ill-fitting. I just look like I don't have any hair. But boy, do I like a nice cowboy hat.
My app cap is OSHA and ANSI approved.
Good, pretty hat. Oh, you're ready to get out on the construction.
Just call me Bob the Builder.
Yeah. You know what it's like? It's like those, remember those super glue or crazy glue or I don't know what kind of glue? Where the guy, you know, he's holding on. I love that commercial. Why don't they bring back that commercial?
Somebody's saying we look like the Village People. Really?
Yeah, well, because you're a construction worker and I'm a cowgirl. Yeah, what do we need?
That's a 10-gallon hat, but you only have an 8-gallon head. I think you need to, that hat is a little big on you.
This hat's a little big. But again, I've got a bun, so it's making it kind of, I don't know, it fit weird. But I love it. I mean, everybody likes it.
What's your app cap, darling?
Cowboy hat. Darling, I think we're going to have to shut you down.
It ain't the cowboy hat, it's the cowboy. It ain't the size of the hat.
It's the motion of the...
Cowboy.
This is an app cap that I... By the way, the app cap awards are the time of the show where Leo and I both pick an app that we really like and we think that you're going to like as well. And we wear hats while doing it. My app this week is a calendar app called Tempo. Now, you might say, Sarah, you guys sure review a lot of calendar apps on iPad today.
Because we've yet to find the perfect one.
Yeah, how could there possibly be one that's better than the rest? And I'm not sure I'm ready to say that it's better than something like Fantastical, which I actually really, really do love.
Or Sunrise, which I really, really love.
Or Sunrise, which you really love. There are a lot of good calendar options. But I do think that Tempo, which is free, by the way, does incorporate very well with accounts that you already have. For example, I've got, which is one email account set up here because I just decided to go with Gmail.
Wait a minute, it's a calendar. Why would you attach your email?
Because... If you've got a, let's say, a meeting with somebody.
It comes in the email.
Yeah. And Tempo,
so this will pick it up.
Tempo is smart enough to know, oh, wait a second. This is, you know, these are keywords of somebody that's in your contacts. Yeah. Let me give you a little bit of context, right? So I've got an email account. I've got my address book connected. It knows where I am. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Of course, this is all, you know, you can pick and choose. But I said, okay, just go ahead and go nuts. Variety of preferences, too, what you want to use for your email app, for example, Gmail or Apple Mail or that sort of thing. But let's just say, all right, well, I'm in the reminders area right now because that's just what I am. I know that a friend of mine named Maria, who I know pretty well, not that well. It's her birthday, though. So this is one of these things where, you know, you might be, I don't know what this is. Oh, yeah, so I could go ahead and post to her wall on Facebook. I'm not really going to do that. And in fact... The honest truth is so many of my Facebook friends are just like, they don't need to be showing up in my calendars that I usually strip out birthdays.
I do too, yeah.
But if you're interested more in just the idea that there is context related to this person, then you can search emails and documents that Maria might show up in, right? You can view an event on Facebook if there was one that was related. I can message her. I can message that I'm running late if we've got a meeting scheduled, that sort of thing. Now, if I just go ahead to... Where's my calendar? So if I'm looking at a week view of everything that's coming up, I mean, again, lots of birthdays up here of people that I sort of know and barely know. But, you know, we're doing iPad today right now. I've got TN2 later. i5 for the iPhone is tomorrow. Now, I might say, oh, crap, I don't want to forget that at 10 a.m., which is unusual tomorrow, I got to do the iPad announcement, or iPhone announcement, rather.
Don't forget Apple. That. I don't think you're going to forget that.
I'm not going to forget that. It's all I think about. but yeah, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and remind myself, low battery, 5%. Oh, good. I'm glad we're almost at the end of the show. Show details. Now, I might say, well, it's not all day. You know, I know the location is obviously at the TWIT office, so I can add that in.
Will it look up? If you put TWIT, will it look it up and know where the address is and all of that?
Well, that's a good question.
Some calendars will do that, which I like.
That's a good question.
It'll use Google or something and see. Type TWIT LLC. There you go. It did.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And then you can have a map. Because it knows the address.
Exactly. Now, what's also kind of cool is if this was a meeting that required a conference call, right? You can add the conference call information ahead of time. And then when it's time to actually have that meeting, let's say, you know, I had to get on the phone tomorrow at 10 a.m., it will push notification me They will notify me via push and say, like, do you want me to call?
That's really good because I always forget the
it's
code
so annoying.
And all of that
it's so,
stuff.
I hate that,
That
too.
Needs to be in the calendar. It needs to do it automatically.
Yeah, so there are just, so I'm going to go ahead and discard my changes because I don't actually need to add that in there. But it's neat. I thought it did a really good job. There are a couple weird things I have noticed, though. For example, I've got a standing appointment at 4 o'clock every day for TN2, right?
Yeah.
Now, Tempo...
Apparently you're going to fly there.
Well, Tempo says, oh, are you talking about going...
You're Tahiti Nui number two.
Yeah, because...
You're going to Tahiti, baby.
Well, because it found TN2 and thinks, oh, I'm trying to help you. There's a flight involved,
right?
There ought
to be a way to turn that off.
Well, there is. You can go in and say you're not correct. But again, it's trying to be as smart as possible, which I think is pretty cool. There are really robust contact information. I don't want to show anybody's contact because it's going to show their number and stuff like that, you know, personal information. But I don't know. I thought it was a really nice app. Now, of course, I'm looking at this in landscape mode. It works in portrait as well, if that's your bag.
I like Tempo a lot, too. I've used that as well.
Have you?
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I was pretty impressed by it because I know that calendars are, you know, it's just very personal how you want to use calendars.
But it's one of the most important things you do on your iPad, I think.
I mean, I can't.
Or your phone.
I cannot be without it.
Yeah.
I cannot be without a good calendar, which is trying very hard to organize my life. So anyway, that is completely free. The name of the app is Tempo. It is an iPhone app that recently became a universal app. So it is officially iPad happy. Mm. And I think you'll like it.
Good news.
Yeah.
So how many years ago was it that BioShock came out? Something like 5 or 6 years ago. It was a very exciting first-person shooter on Macs and PCs. And what was exciting about it was it looked different. You were underwater in the city of Rapture that had been built by a guy who kind of thought of himself almost as a god. He was a proponent of the objectivist philosophy of Ayn Rand. And it was just, it was a kind of a steampunk retro look. I just loved it. They followed with a sequel, which was also in the underwater city of Rapture, BioShock 2. A little change to the game. You played the Big Daddies, who were characters in the original BioShock. And the third one, BioShock Infinite, came out last year. Loved that just as much. This is a series, one of my favorite series of games of all time. Well, they have finally, after all this time, ported the original BioShock to the iPad. And you're going to look at it and say, wow, that's an expensive game. What is it, $15, $13? It's a very expensive game. So I thought I'd show it to you.
15, yeah.
And I'll tell you the pros and cons up front. But 2K Games, who did this originally, has now put BioShock on the iPad. Came out last week. A lot of people were waiting for this and very excited about it. It is, as far as I can tell, very true to the original desktop and console game. 2002, it says. It can't be that old. I don't think so. Maybe there's some stuff in there. I'm not going to start a new game because there's a lot of preliminary leading up to it. But we will start fairly early on in the game where we're first going down to Rapture. And you'll hear the music. There's old-timey music in it. There is just a lot of backstory and a great feel to it. You start to learn who you are and go through this environment. It's also huge, gigabytes in size, and you can see a lot of that is loading time. Now, let me just show you a little bit of what, you know, you've heard me talk before about how much I like iPad native games. This is a first-person shooter. As with most first-person shooters, you've got the controls on the iPad, the movement control and the look control. And I just find this a very ungainly way to do stuff. Let's pull the bathysphere lever here, and we're going to descend now. He's been in a plane wreck, and the plane crashed in the ocean, but there's this odd structure in the middle of the ocean, which he's swum up to, and now he's found this strange bathysphere that is taking him down, and what he's going to find out, of course, is taking him to the city of Rapture. If you play the original game, I think you'll feel pretty comfortable with how they've ported it. It really has the look and feel of the original BioShock, all the original audio.
And I'm here to ask you a question. Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow? No, says the man in Washington.
This is the objectivist philosophy of Ayn Rand.
No, says the man in the Vatican. It belongs
I love this game. There are big daddies in it, giant guys in diving suits. There are little girls in it who are going around and stealing Adam. It's got an incredibly complicated plot, some wonderful powers that are more than weapons. They're the ability to almost cast spells. It is a very, very fun game. Scary, atmospheric, and they have... So the plus on this is they've captured it. It is the game, and it's wonderful. The negatives is it's not iPad native. This is a first-person shooter with all of the negatives in those first-person shooter controls. I find them sometimes hard to operate, but this game is so good, I have to let you know about it. It is worth, in my opinion, if you've not played the original Bioshock, it's worth the $15. You'll get so much out of the story and the view of it. And what I feel like this is, and all three Bioshocks are, such a departure from the Call of Duty, you're a soldier, you got to shoot everybody you see, the run-and-gun games, that this is well worth the attention. That as somebody's saying in the chat room, it's as much a work of art as a game. But a fun game and a very playable game. So it's definitely my pick, Bioshock. I already played all the way through all three games, and I love coming back to Rapture and spending some time. His bathysphere is about to arrive. This is all kind of by way of exposition at the beginning of the game. You won't have these long cutscenes as you play the game. In fact, we're almost into it, so soon
it
as
sure
into,
does I'll look show. Nice, though.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's that kind of Atlas Shrugged, the Fountainhead kind of an idea. And you're in the 50s, but really it looks more like the 30s. It's that early
Art Deco-y.
Yeah. I said steampunk. It's really more Art Deco.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Boy, these long loads are just going to kill you. And it's going to take up a lot of space, I'm sorry to say.
Get out and get it, kids. Yeah. $15.
Get a 128 gigabyte iPad while you're at it.
If anyone is already a fan of Bioshock, then...
You know, I was going to get it no matter what. It was a no-brainer. And yeah. I think if you've not played Bioshock, it's worth it. As long as you understand it's that first-person shooter thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like those controls on the screen. I really don't. There you have it, my friends. Bioshock.
All right, so we've got a little calendar, tempo calendar from me, Bioshock from Leo, the calendar girl and the gamer guy. It's, you know, these are sort of the roles that we play here on the show. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. iPad Today is coming to a close, but don't you worry. We'll be back next week. We will not be on vacation. We will be here. It's going to be so fun.
And don't forget tomorrow, 10 if you're watching live, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC for our live coverage. We'll start a little early, 15 minutes early, quarter to 10.
Try to join us around 9:45. We'll be setting up, eating the donuts.
It's one of those things where you do. You want to have popcorn, you want to eat, you want to see.
It's truly some of my favorite times of
any year. Of the year.
It's just fun, you know, this is what we do. Yep. But yes, do join us live if you can. Might be some iPad announcements in there. We don't know. But until next week. I'm Sarah Lee, and that's Leo Laporte, and thanks for watching iPad Today. Oh.